This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وبعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد الحمد لله القائل وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَالَّذِي بَعَثَ آخِرَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالْمُرْسَلِينَ رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَعْدَ مَرَّةٍ أُخْرَى السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ to my beloved brothers and sisters. It's a pleasure to be here again. And Jazakallah Khair, Sheikh Bilal, for giving this opportunity to me in his place to give this lecture today here. The topic chosen for you people is not entirely for you people, it's in fact for all of us as Muslims and even for non-Muslims at the same time, regarding the issue of the forbidden desire. The forbidden desire. Or we may say, Ash-Shahwa Al-Muharrama. Now, we do understand that there is something called أَحَبُّ شَيْءٍ إِلَى الْإِنسَانِ مَا مُنِعَ, that the most beloved to a person is something which he is not supposed to touch, which he is not supposed to receive or use or see or have, for whatever reason it may be. Now, on the basis of this, I'm going to start by contemplation that long, long time ago, once upon a time, thousands of years back, that is what we do understand, Allahu Alam, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, that when Allah said to the angels, that I am going to create a vicegerent for me who will be living in this earth. Fil ardi khalifa. The angels who are the infallibles, they do not ever disobey Allah. They were surprised and shocked. So they said to Allah, O Allah, are you going to create a creation who are going to do all those stuffs which we are doing today? Right? Allah, He said that, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, I know of what you don't have the knowledge of. The story keeps on going. So when Allah created Adam, now Allah was not taking this permission from the malaika to create us. Allah was just informing them. When Allah created Adam, who was about 48 to 50 meters high at the time when he was created, remember that Allah did not just create him like that, but Allah made his skeleton figure with his flesh and left him for a while. At that point, we know that Satan was among the worshippers of Allah and he was up in the heavens. He started to go around Adam. فَلَمَّا رَأَهُ أَجْوَفْ عَلِمَ أَنَّهُ خُلِقَ خَلْقًا لَا يَتَمَالَكُ. When he saw that this new creation is created with an internal organs, such as our heart, our stomach, our intestine, and all these things, the angel, the Satan realized that Allah has created a being which has no control over itself. Meaning, control over itself of what? Of the desires. And that is very much obvious to us that when the Shaitan, he saw this, he realized that he has got victims for himself. Imagine when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam and his wife, Hawa, they were given the opportunities to live in the next, the most perfect place, and that is the Jannah. He was allowed, and she also, to eat from everything. Everything. Imagine what the Jannah is, to use everything in the Jannah at their service, isn't it? Only one very small restriction, and it wasn't even an essential part of their life through which they had to survive. No. It wasn't that there were no substitutions. No. It wasn't that they were looking forward to that thing because they had tasted it and they had seen that it is something very delicious. They should try to have it again. No. It wasn't that at all. It was only that, do not eat from this tree. Yes, narrations indicate that it looked like it was an apple. Allahu alam, whatever it may have been. Important is that they were not allowed to eat from that. So the shaitan is, when the shaitan came, shaitan did not say, go and eat and disobey Allah. No. Shaitan will not come to you and say, commit zina because you have to declare to Allah that you are powerful and now you are a man. Shaitan will never tell you that. Because straightway, you will punch up the shaitan and he will die for good. But the shaitan will come to you in other ways, which we are going to learn some of them today, inshallah. Exactly like that, do you think that our father was deceived as easily as this? No. Shaitan started to whisper in so many ways, including that, look, this is the Shajaratul Khuld. This is the tree of the life of eternity, of forever. Once you eat it, you are going to live forever and never die. So this started to make this, man, if this is the case, that's why Allah told me not to eat from it, isn't it? Okay, I want to live forever. Now, Adam, he forgets that it is a command from Allah, he is supposed to keep away from it, regardless of the consequences, all the result from that tree. Whatever it may stand for, you are prohibited, you are not allowed to come near it, you are not allowed to eat it, that's it. But he forgot. He ended up eating it. He did not have control over his desires, or his desire made him blind for a while, so he could not see the truth in front of him. And that's why we need to learn. Now desire is something. We know that it is good and bad. It is not that something which is entirely in total form haram. No. So we need to learn what is desire. Desire is something which you look forward to, which you like, which you love, which you want to do, which you at times may not have control over, which you enjoy to do in things. All these are part of your desire, which Allah has created in you and also in the haywan. Now, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, when he says, talks about this shahwa, he's saying a little bit of those which I explained, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this shahwa, this desire in us. Why? So that we can use it and utilize it to worship Allah. We have the shahwa, desire for food, so that we can survive. If you don't eat, you can't live, you will die. You want to live because you have to worship Allah. And then the desire for the intimate relationship for which you get married, so that you have the production of the human generation. Without that, it should not be happening. So all these are part of desire through which you achieve what you are supposed to do. Now, also, desire is something which is so dangerous that Imam Malik, rahmahullah, he says that مَنْ غَلَبَ شَهْوَةُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يَفْرُقُ الشَّيْطَانَ مِنْ ظِلِّهِ, that the one who is able to overcome his worldly desires, meaning he has control over it, then that is the one who the shaitan even fears his shadow. Yes, it is true. It's not so much in literal meaning, but that's what it is true. That once the shaitan knows that you have control over them yourself, shaitan will fear you because he knows that he is not going to misguide you in any way whatsoever. Now, among the most, or many, there are many kinds of shahwa, desires, right? And they can be forbidden or it can be halal, such as maal, wealth. such as a woman who can come in any shapes, such as status, which can be of various in various levels, such as the beauty, it can come in many categories, such as health, it can be in many categories. People, they become, they start to worship their own health, for example, or their body, or their figure, or their beauty. All this is part of the desire which a person lusts for and wants it, isn't it? Now, among those, the strongest, and the one where people have almost no control, is the shahwatun nisa, the lust, a natural lust which a man feels for the woman. No wonder, that's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the zina of dunya, Allah says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهْوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْتَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِدَّةِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. Allah started that Allah has made it beautiful for man, the love of the shahwa, of the desires, starting from woman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا حُلْوَةٌ خَدْرًا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فِيهَا لِيَنْظُرَ مَا كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاءَ. This dunya is a very lavish, beautiful place. And Allah has created you in this dunya for what? So that He can test you of what you do. Be careful of this lavish dunya and of the women. إِنَّ خَيْرُ مَتَاعِ الدُّنْيَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ. That the best of the mata' or any form of ni'mah which Allah has given you is a salihah, a religious woman. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِ فِتْنَةً أَدَرُّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. I have not ever left behind a fitna which is more harmful for men than the woman. And this is who said this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he said, اتقوا الدنيا واتقوا النساء فإن أول فتنة بني إسرائيل كان في النساء. Be careful of the fitna of the woman, because the first fitna in Bani Israel was because of the woman. However, it does not demean the status. You are totally wrong if this is what the sisters and the brothers they think. You have totally misinterpreted the hadith or the ayah. It in fact elevated their status, that the power which they have and the control which they can have is amazing. And that's why they are, whenever, whoever that person is, if they have this kind of influence, if they have this kind of status, if they have this kind of power, they are either your best friend or your most dangerous enemy. When Islam is the most powerful religion, it is not the best friend for everyone. Those who are not Muslims, for them this is the worst of their enemies. And so is a woman. Either she is your best friend or your worst enemy, depending on what you are or what the situation is. Which means they control and they have that kind of power. And that's the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them. Now, among the reasons why we become victims of desires which are mostly forbidden, meaning the forbidden desires, halal desires, alhamdulillah, that's for you. Why? Among those, there are many reasons. Among the first one, in that is da'ful iman, the lack of iman, or the weakness of iman. And we know that our iman is our weapon. Through that we control ourselves, through that we guide ourselves to what is best for us and what is not good for us. And if we lack in the iman, there you go, you are going to easily lose with the shaitan. The second reason is bad companionship. Your friends, your colleagues, your mates at work, your classmates in the college or schools, your neighbors, and even your brothers, the community members, all these come. If they are bad, then the influence of that is reflected in you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ar-rajulu ala dini khalilihi, falyanzuru ahadukum man yukhalil." That a person is according, or at least is being reflected with the deen of his friend. So you should be careful to choose who your friends are going to be. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. So you have to know. Because if, as a Muslim, you as young kids, you go out, and every time your parents, they see you going out with the sheikh of the masjid, They are never going to say don't go. They are never going to doubt, mashallah, you are in a great company. What a good company you have. You are a good boy. Keep on going. Right? But in he picks you from your home. And late at 12 at night, he brings you back. Your parents are happy. Oh, with the imam, mashallah. They may not even bother to ask you where you have been. They will know because of that person. But if one of your notorious friends with the tattoo and earrings and nose rings and whatever, he comes and picks you up 10 minutes before Salatul Jumu'ah. Says, I'm going with him for Salatul Jumu'ah. Your father will ask you, are you sure you're going to Salatul Jumu'ah? And then straight after Jumu'ah, he brings you home. Where have you been? Dad, I have been for Jumu'ah. Don't you trust me? Come on, give me a break. Of course, how can he give you a break when your friend, he doesn't look like a Jumu'ah boy, isn't it? You see, it's the fact of life. It's the fact of life. Simple as that. So, your friends are very important. The first one being the sheikh, you are away from home for hours and hours. Your parents will never even bother. They may ask you just for the sake of information, but not for the sake that for the benefit of any doubt, no. But for the second one, half an hour, but still they keep on asking because they can't trust you anymore. Or even if they, though they trust you, they fear that this trust is going to take you as his son or your a daughter to some place or somewhere in the state where you may lose. And that's the way people are. That's why good companionship is very, very, very important. Also, among those reasons, and this is, I have found this a very dangerous one, itlaqu nazar. Your seeing, your nazar, your eyes, your sight, looking at things. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us this ni'mah. Wallahi, if from your eyes, your tongue, and your ears, if you are given the choice only to have one thing, you will choose your eyes. You will choose your eyes. Because the ni'mah of eyes is far more than other ni'mah. Subhanallah. And that's why when the ni'mah, the blessing of Allah is so much concentrated on eyes, and that is why the opposite and that is the trial and the test, the imtihan or the deviation or the desires, the forbidden ones are also all mostly concentrated in starting point from the eyes in most of the cases. Wallahu al-musta'an. And that is why Allah says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. Tell the believers, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, to lower their gaze, وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ, and to protect their private parts. First, you have to lower your gaze. Without that, it is impossible to protect your private parts. Impossible to keep away from intimate reactions. It starts mostly with the looking which Allah has given you in your eyes. Also among those things, al-firag al-qatil, meaning that firag is emptiness or too much of time in your hands, or I'm getting bored, man, there is nothing to do. Come on, Dad, give me a break, I want to go to the supermarket. We have been hearing this for the past 2 months, isn't it, in the school holidays. And that's why since last week, all the parents in Australia and New Zealand, they have restarted to breathe normal again. Because the kids are in school, they are not getting bored anymore. You don't have to, you know, go out of your way to entertain them. And, you know, now we are grown up. I can see from where they are coming. But in my age and at my time, we did not know the vocabulary in existence of the word of boring. I'm not joking. Yes, my parents, my mother, she did not know this word that I am bored. And then telling my dad, I need a time out, we need a holiday, we need to go somewhere because I'm bored. I never heard this from my mother. But we hear this nowadays from the wives. So, when we were young, we never knew this vocabulary, but now our children, they say it. Right? Why we get bored? It's exactly that same 24 hours. And what we achieve is far less than what they may have, or what we can do in what 1 hour used to be taken, used to be done in 1 day by our parents because of the technology and facilities. So you can do so many things there, and then to keep us busy, there are so many halal things more than before, and you have it all at home, and still you find that you are bored. This comes from lack of iman also. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ni'matani maghbunun fihima kathirun minan nas, as-sihhatu wal faragh." That there are two forms of ni'mah. Many people, they have been blessed with this and they abuse it. And that is your health and your time. Never think that you have got ample amount of time. I always feel that I have hardly ever any time. So if you utilize your time in the way Allah has ordered you, wallahi, every day, by Allah, I swear, every day I find that I have not achieved what I wanted for that day. Almost without exception. Because you make yourself so busy, you have got so many things to be done that you can't do all of it. Then where is the faragh which you are talking about? Where is that emptiness? Where is that boredom which you are talking about? You should not. So many of our children, they complain that they are getting bored. Did you finish memorizing the Quran? Did you finish memorizing all the Sunnah of Rasulullah? Did you finish memorizing Al-Bukhari and Muslim and all those Sunan books? If you had done that, then it is my challenge, you would not have been bored, but you would become too busy yourself teaching others. So there is no time for boredom. No, it's not only those things you can go for. There are other things also which you can do. So, alhamdulillah. Fifth one, at-tasahul fil haram. Taking it easy when it comes to haram. Releasing the valve when it is the concept of haram. Okay, we are in the Western society, you know. We have to take this approach in a different way. You know, it's a bit okay. I know it is haram, but man, we are in the 21st century and we are in Australia. We are not in Makkah. What you are talking about here? Yeah? And this one thing leads to another, and then it becomes, wal'ayazu billah, a normal thing in your life. I remember when I graduated, I'm from Fiji. For 14 years, I lived in a community which is just like an Australian community, mixed, and everything is just normal, no hijab, no niqab, though here the Muslims, they are doing better than what it was 25, 30 years back in Fiji. And then all of a sudden, I find myself in a community which it was and still is still better than many places, or most of the places where you observe hijab and segregation and all these things. And it came in my veins. Being at the age of 14, it wasn't difficult for me to change my system and my thinking. And then after I graduated, I came out. I found it so difficult to reside in New Zealand because of, you know, how New Zealand is exactly like Australia when it came to social aspect of the life. Now, every time, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Wallahi, now I'm no more astaghfirullah and no more like this. Oh, still I do, but what I'm saying is it's not what it was. Oh, you get used to it. You get used to it. Though maybe I'm not sinning, maybe no, those elements are not there, Allahu alam, but that feeling of that beginning, I got used to it now. And this is the dalil. And you say, Sheikh, we are born here, so we don't know how really it works. Well, when you go to Makkah, especially not in Hajj or Umrah or in Ramadan, because that time you are only going to get mixed around with the rest of the foreigners. And they are just like you. I want you to go and see those communities who observe the hijab, who observe the segregation in their adab, their etiquettes. In the beginning, you will find it difficult, and then you melt in it and it becomes your adab. Anything you start in the beginning, it is difficult, and then becomes your adab, your system in your life. It becomes a system of your life. And exactly like that, when you take haram easily, and then it becomes normal of your life, and it becomes part of your culture. Sixth, number six, al-qurbu min muthirati ash-shahwa. To get near to all those things which, in fact, wakens up your shahwa, which exaggerates your shahwa, or which fires up and ignites your shahwa, your desire. And that leads, one thing leads to another, as we know, it leads you to commit all the haram, and it becomes something which you don't have control on. Walayazu billah. Do you see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْجُلُوسِ فِي الطُّرُقَاتِ, when the Sahabas, you know, still it is in existence, the Arabs, they would have in front of their houses, in many places they do practice it even now, they would put the kahawa, the shahi, the tea, the coffee, and they would sit with their friends and colleagues, and they would talk there. And the road is in front of them. So it used to happen, very similar to that, the culture was that the Sahabas would sit in the front of the houses or near, but on the side of the roads, talking and sharing their whatever news or whatever it may have been. So Rasulullah said, be careful, do not sit on the roads. It doesn't mean sitting in the middle of the road, though the donkeys, if coming, they would not tramp over them, they would go on the side. But if we sit on the middle of the road, then we know where we would be today. But he means by that, on the sides of the road. So the Sahabas, they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma lana buddha, meaning that we don't have any other place to go to catch up with each other, so we have to sit in those places. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَإِذَا أَبَيْتُمْ إِلَّا الْمَجْلِسَ فَاعَتُوا الطَّرِيقَ حَقَّ. But if you refuse, but only to sit there, then give the rights which it is entitled to. Give them the rights, which is Ghadul Basr. Because women, they walk from there. Maybe when you are sitting on the opposite, one of the windows is open, or the door is open, and you may see something inside the house, which you may regret later. So you have to be very careful of these things, and when somebody is passing by, you have to give the answer to their salam and things like this. So it's difficult. You might as well be better off not to sit in that place at all. Also, we have to be careful that, as I said, those things which leads you to commit harams, and examples are such as music, movies, and the kind of things as such. Now, we gave certain examples or certain reasons through which we see that we end up becoming victims of our own desire. Now, how can we all have agreed right from the beginning that there is something called desire. And they are of two kinds. Halal and haram. Accepted and forbidden. We are concentrating on the reasons where we commit forbidden desires or we lose the control over it. Now, once agreeing on that, now we need to see how can we deal with this situation of the shahwa, of these desires. How can we react to it, or how can we cure it, or how can we prevent it, or how can we take the precautions. Remember, precaution is better than cure. Because when you want to cure, sometimes you are damaged. A person, if he is going, I don't care if I get sick, we are in Australia, medication is free, or I'm paying this and I will go to the doctors. Maybe you never come out of that safe. Maybe there will be permanent side effects to that. So it is better never to be sick, isn't it? Though we all go through those things. So here it is better to keep away from all the elements which is going to make you lose your control over the desires, because you may come out of that with tawbah and become safe, but the remnants of that may be forever with you, and you may never forget it, and you may regret it, and that may become an obstacle in the rest part of your life. Allahu A'lam. Among the things which are going to, you have to utilize to protect yourself from these desires. The first one is to say, A'udhu Billah. A'udhu Billah. And this is what is known, that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, remember when the wife of the either the king or the sultan or the minister, depending on the way we explain it, when he was a khadim, a servant to her, a slave. And he was extremely, extremely, extremely beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made him with exceptional beauty. The dalil to that is that when the woman, they started to talk about that Imratul Aziz, that she is the one, she wanted to have wrong, haram, forbidden desired actions with this slave of ours, with a slave. She wanted to tell them and teach them, look, he is not a normal human being. So she invited all the women and she gave them the fruit to cut. While they were cutting the fruit, she ordered Yusuf to come in. And when he came in, all of them, they cut their hands. Because they didn't know what they are doing. The moment they saw, they said, this guy can't be a human being. He's an angel because of his beauty. Right? So when she tried to overpower him, she had the status, she was beautiful, and she had the power, and she had closed the room. They were secluded in privacy. There was nobody seeing, and the husband looked like that he was away, and then he was the youth himself. He didn't have the ghira and the jealousy, as the rest of the incidents indicate to that. All that was there, and then he is just a slave, and he is unmarried, a young, beautiful man, all powerful, handsome, not sickly, the shower, the desire was all there, and yet Allah saved him and protected him. He said, Ma'adallah, Ma'adallah, that I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa nisa'u al-ardi lamma anbatat aqbalat nahwi wa qalat li ilayya fata'amaytu ka'an lam araha lamma absartu maqsudi ladayha فقلت كيف ألقى الله ربي آثما يوم حشر الناس إذ غلت يديا بئسة اللذات إن كان بها غضب الجبار والسخط عليا معاذ الله هذه سيحتي قالها يوسف قلها يا أخيا. This shair is basically reflecting and reminding us that when the women, as it happens even today, when they came towards me inviting me to do haram, I remembered the la'an, the case, the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when I will be handcuffed and dragged and pushed to the nari jahannam, yawmul qiyamah, where it is not going to be of any benefit to me. And that is when I said, Mu'adullah, this is what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he said when he was invited, almost forced in fact, qalaha Yusufu, qulha ya ukhayya, and say it. And this is very important. You know, some of us, when we see the haram, some of us, when we see half-naked, semi-naked, or almost 90% naked females walking, we say, A'udhu Billah, A'udhu Billah, A'udhu Billah, or Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, and you keep on following her for minutes. This is not A'udhu Billah. It also applies on sisters when you see half indecent acting people, men, walking around. You say, Astaghfirullah, brother, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. No, it is totally unacceptable. Your Astaghfirullah is supposed to protect you. But that Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, unfortunately, is not coming from the heart. It is only a lip service. So when we say, Ma'adullah, A'udhu Billah, it has to come from the heart. It has to come from the heart. Now, when you are saying that, the another, your sight, your looking is very important at the same time to deviate it, even though you may still want to see it. Look, when you see some haram, you say Astaghfirullah and you take your nazar away, while in your heart you feel that I want to see it again, there is nothing wrong in that. You are not alien. You are not alien. You are not alone. You are not somebody who is abnormal. You are very normal. You are very normal. It's a desire created in us. But you did not do any haram. You said Astaghfirullah and khalas. A'udhu Billah and khalas. You see? So if you think that, you feel that in the, man, I should have seen her, man. At least one more time. What is coming in your heart? There is nothing wrong in that, because it is a khatir. It is coming. You have no control over your khatir. What is being whispered in your heart comes, reflects in your brain. You have no control over that. You are only thinking what is normal. But you should not act on that. If you act, then it becomes abnormal. You should also act normal. And that is astaghfirullah. You take the point? So if it comes in your heart, you are not abnormal. Believe me. Also for sisters. Same. But you should not continue. And you should not intend. Meaning, you know that I'm going to the supermarket today. It is very, very, very hot. Or Paris market. It's very, very hot today. The temperature is in 40s. So I'm pretty sure that there will be some decent men and decent women there who will be almost with no clothes. So I'm going there to do the marketing, and I'm pretty sure that I will be able to see them. But I will always say astaghfirullah and astaghfirullah. So your intent right from the beginning, khalas, that's wrong. No, I'm going there because it is the season of mangoes. I love mangoes. I want to buy cheap mangoes, big watermelons and big rock melons, which we don't have in New Zealand anyway. Only we have small ones. So I'm going to buy that. So when you end up there, you see some of the fitan which you may have not expected or you had no intention of. Astaghfirullah. Khalas, alhamdulillah. Say, I'm going to watch beach volleyball. Right? You know what happens in beach volleyball. So when you go there, every time you say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. You won't have anywhere but to say, astaghfirullah, look up. You won't be able to see beach volleyball at all. You know what is going to happen there. Come on, give me a break, isn't it? So you don't go there right from the beginning with the intention you know that is the wrong place. So where is the place for astaghfirullah there? You intended, you acted already. So you are one stage ahead of that astaghfirullah and a'udhu billah wallahu al-musta'an. And you see the rewards of this. A person who was invited by a woman with all the position and status to commit zina, which he did not do, he is among those who are going to be given the shelter, the shadow of the throne of Allah, yawm al-qiyamah, yawm la zilla, illa zillahu subhanahu ta'ala, ay zilla arshihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, among those things which we have to be very careful of, I'm just trying to look at it, I can't find it, but I will tell you from myself here, it is that, remember, first thing is khatir, right? And that is something which just comes in your mind, just pops up like that from nowhere. Oh, this is it. Then it becomes a fikra. It becomes a kind of psychological thing or an ideology or an idea which you want to implement, right? So when it becomes a khatir, right here, you have to start fighting that. And that is the easiest part of all. Straightway, you change your mind. It comes, man, I need to go to the sea beach today. No, I have got shopping to do. My mommy said, make sure you finish it up. So you end up doing shopping for 3 hours. It's already sunset. You can't go to the beach. No, khatir, I have to go to the sun, to the beach. Then instead of changing yourself continuously or straight where you say, you make it a fikra, an idea. Yes, okay, I'm going to call up my friend and we are going to that flan shop to buy some 6 packs and then there are some fruits on the way. We are going to buy it and then maybe we are going to the flan restaurant to have some takeaways and then on a certain place where we are going to end up in the beach and then we are going to eat and enjoy with the rest of those public who are not dressed properly and this is where the restriction is, isn't it? Oh, then it becomes a fikra. You see, now you are committing yourself to a fikra because on the khatir, you did not control. It becomes a fikra. And this fikra, if you do not control yourself in this fikra now, then you start to take the next step, and that is to really implement it. Really implement. So you go to the next step of carrying it out. And before you carry it out, if you do not control yourself, then you go to the fourth stage, and that is you really implement it, commit that haram, right there. And if You do not control yourself after committing haram. After you have committed haram, you go and do istighfar, you go and do tawbah, you go and get rid of that sin. If you don't do that, then it becomes an adab. It becomes part of your culture, part of your life, part of your practice. And that is when it becomes most difficult to get off that desire. Be it drugs, be it zina, be it movies, be it music, be it whatever it may be. So you see the stages through which you go through before you start, before it becomes your culture. You have not seen anybody who has been a very mutawwa, very religious, always in the masjid, blah, 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 ila akhiri. All of a sudden he says, from today I want to start and go in myself in drugs. No, it doesn't happen that way. It goes on gradually. So you have to control it before it becomes too late. Wallahu alam. The next qaida, the law here to protect yourself is ahdhir kha'inatul ayun. This is the most dangerous weapon, which I have already told you brothers and sisters right few minutes back. And that is the nazar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ya'lamu kha'inatul ayun wa ma tukhfi sudur. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows kha'inatul ayun, which I'm going to explain, in whatever is concealed in your heart. Now, you have known the criminals, or like a bank robber, or a highwayman, or the one who steals people's goods, or people who do fraud, and people, and many kinds of criminals you have had. But this kainatul ayun here means a criminal of sight, or criminal of looking, or criminal of eyes. And who is this? Explained by such as Ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and also by Sufyan and others, that it is like kainatul ayun is like, you know, a man, he goes and visits somebody in the family or friends, you know, and there is a beautiful woman in that house. So whenever he knows that the main folk of the house is not watching, he looks at that woman. And as soon as he realizes they are watching him, he goes like this, you know. Or if they are passing by, so the brother has stood up there in the market, he meets with his family and a young, beautiful daughter or a beautiful wife. And then you meet, assalamu alaikum brother, how are you? And everything you talk, and your brother is listening to you and maybe he's looking at something. You look at his family. And then the moment you realize that, oh, and then you talk to, this is kainatul ayun. This is kainatul ayun. A criminal of sight or looking or whatever you want to say. This is one example or one explanation of it. You can explain it in any other way you want. And this kainatul ayun is the most dangerous weapon which we have, which I have already said before, that because one thing leads to another, and that's why it is nazaratun, fattisamun, fasalamun, famu'idun, faliqa, that it is starts with another, a simple, innocent looking, which you are, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made it very clear, nazaratul ula lak, that the first one is for you, meaning forgiven. And that nazar al-ula, it means by mistake you saw something, then you deviated. And if you continue looking, then it is haram. And the second one definitely is not for you, be it in timely wise or in repeated actions. Both way, it is haram. So that is the starting part of it, and that is why the concept, the culture, or the teachings of Islam, of the niqab, the hijab comes. And we know why it is the niqab, why it is the hijab, why it is the segregation, why it is lowering the gaze, why it is that the women, when they go out, they are not allowed to make up themselves, especially if they are not observing niqab, or when they are going to be in places where the mixed men would be around and things like this. And that's why it differs when a woman is getting dressed up at night to go to her parents' place or to her brother's place, and she will sit in the car and then end up in the house of her brother. She may be well with perfect makeup and things with niqab, and then she goes and takes it out there. That is different from, of course, when you come to the places such as this place or to the markets, because you have to go through public places. Wallahu a'lam, wallahu al-musta'an. And we also know that another barid or zina, that you're looking is the barid or the actual thing which leads you towards zina. So you have to be careful of looking. Wallahu a'lam, wallahu al-musta'an. I think as far as looking, the issue of looking and controlling your gaze is concerned, we have spoken enough on that, but I would like to mention one thing. Many of the people who do not condone to the issue of segregation, they love mixed gathering and stuff, they say that my heart is pure. And we know that they are the biggest of the liars. They are the biggest of the liars, and I can say in their faces, and I have said it. Also to the sisters who say this, that my heart is pure, either you are not a woman or you are a biggest liar. Because this is what is the teachings of Islam. And then secondly, faradan, you are not a human, normal human being. You are not a normal woman. You are not a normal man. So you are abnormal. But are others? Not. They may not be. Definitely they are not. You may be abnormal, but others are not. They are but only normal. So these things are supposed to be taken very strictly. Wallahu al-musta'an. As I said, that take control of something which is in front of you and you are already committed to that, or the reasons which is going to make you commit that haram, it becomes more difficult compared to if it is eliminated or restricted. Also, among the reasons to control ourselves, we have spoken a lot. Now, a little bit more, inshallah. Segregation, not looking, keeping away from music, keeping away from movies and things which leads you to commit these kind of things. And then also, such as getting married in time, that is for those who are not married, and because of that you are committing that kind of sins. This is part of what Rasulullah said, or you fast to control your desires, or you do exercises or whatever to keep yourself in control the way it is permissible. And also to help those who want to get married in the society, to help them financially or by finding them a suitable girl or a boy, or by decreasing the amount of mahar, or supporting in their walima, or in whichever way possible to make this zawaj being a successful one. And it is better, especially in this kind of societies, for our girls and boys to get married earlier, if possible, because that is going to keep them in the right track compared to if they are not. Allahu A'lam. There are a few other issues which I wanted to talk about, but I would rather not do it. But here, what I'm going to give is some examples of those people who went through these forms of difficulties and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them. The first, the most known example is of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, which we already mentioned a little bit about in the previous minutes while we were speaking about him alayhi salatu wasalam. And among the reasons which Allah protected him was, of course, his iman, and he was a Nabi, and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and continuous worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we have got another story of Jurayj al-Abid. We already heard about him that he used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that the people, they wanted to put trials on him, imtihan. So they almost... A woman, in fact, she said, I'm going to do fitna to this man, to Jurayj. So she came to him, and she almost, of course, gave herself to him to commit zina. He said no. Then she went to a person who was a shepherd, meaning grazing animals, and then she committed zina with him. And once she delivered the baby, she said to people that he is the one who committed it. Walayazu billah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported Jurayj so much because he was a very religious man that he prayed and asked Allah and made dua, and then he pointed to that very young baby and said, who is your dad? Then he said, Ar-Ra'i, meaning the shepherd. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped him, and this was all due to that he used to be a mu'min and not looking at women, not committing zina and things like this. Also, we have Rabi' ibn Khuthaym, rahimahullah, they requested a woman, they requested the man of his time, they requested a woman to make him commit zina. They said that if you are successful, we are going to give you 1,000 dirham in order to do that, which she tried. So she went and approached him in the way, very attractive way, naturally, but she was not successful, and in fact, that he was able to make da'wah to her, that how will it be that if Malakul Maut will come and take your ruh now, and how will it be that if the Munkar and Nakir, those two angels who are going to ask you questions, Yawm al-Qiyamah, or that the fever would come and destroy the beauty of your body, how will it happen? She feared so much that she did tawbah, and she became among the most religious women of her time. Also, we see As-Sari ibn Dinar, who had a very similar story to Rabi', where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him from the kaid al-ka'idin, wallahu al-musta'an. And we have the story, this is a very famous story of Abu Bakr al-Miski, rahmahullah. Ibn al-Jawzi, he related this story in one of his books, that Abu Bakr al-Miski was asked, that whenever you come continuously, we smell the ra'iha, the smell of musk from you. Musk is a perfume. If you really want to know the real one, how it smells, I invite you all to try this. This is real musk. By the way, I did not bring it for this. This is real musk, and it comes out from where? Who can tell me? I did not ask you, Sheikh. It comes from which tree? From? From a deer, Sheikh has answered it. It's from an animal, live animal. It is extracted from that special kind of deer, and that's why the original real ones there, which this is the only one I can use. Otherwise, I'm sensitive. I have headaches because of other kinds of attar. And this is from the real animal, of course. Now, it used to come as a smell from him. So people, they asked him, why? Why is it that you are continuously smell in such a nice way? He said, it has been for years I did not use any attar. But it is that only that there was this woman, she tricked me. And by tricking me, she made me enter her house, and then she closed the doors, and she proposed to me and requested and ordered me to commit zina with her, which, of course, I did not. I did my best to get away from there, which I could not. So in the end, I said that I need to go to answer the call of nature, meaning going to the toilet. So she requested one of her servants to take him and watch over him while he's in the toilet. So when he went to the toilet, he did it, and then he soiled himself, the entire body, with it. And then when he walked back to her, she got the shock. Ah, what kind of a stupid guy is this? He's foolish and insane. So she said to him, you may go. So he went, and he said, then I took my shower and cleaned myself. And from there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with this. And this is in the book of Al-Mawa'iz wal-Majalis li Ibn al-Jawzi. Now, this is not a hadith. This is what historically happened somewhere and narrated to us by Ibn al-Jawzi. And that is this is among one of the famous qisas known. And also we see that, I think the time is over. I would just... I wanted to present some of the more stories of those people, but I think I will just mention one, Sheikh. Just one is enough. Now, in year 278, and this is also narrated in Al-Bidayah wal-Nihaya li Ibn al-Kathir, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that Abda ibn Abdul Rahim, he used to be a mujahid. Listen, how many of you have done jihad? Nobody. How many of you have memorized the whole Quran? Almost nobody. This man was a hafiz. He used to do jihad with those as-salaf as-salih. So many battles he went in the Roman Empire and so many other places. one day, the black day for this man, Hafiz al-Quran, Mujahid, Musalli, Muslim, what happens? While they had captured some Romans, he looked at a Roman woman. He kept on looking at her naturally, and then he fell in love with her. He said that, "I want to get married to you." She said, "No, you cannot. Unless you become a Christian, my father will not get you, let you get married to me." He said, "I'll become a Christian." He did. He got married to her. And then his colleagues would go and visit. Of course, they must have done their da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him forget everything apart from رُبَّمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا رُبَّمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ, that they wish that those who are non-Muslims, they wish that they were Muslims. ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. And this is in Surah Al-Hijr, ayah number 2 and 3. From this we learn, from where did it start? Did it start with a telephone call, a mobile call, net? No, it started with another. So if none of you are Hufaz, none of you are Mujahideen, none of you are that, we are more easily victimized by this, our eyes, than them. We don't want to be victims of that, so be careful. And remember, this forbidden desire which we are talking about, the worst one of that comes through our eyes, as we said, and the most powerful, influential one is the relationship between men and women. And that is why we have zawaj, we have nikah, we have husbands and wives, and not boyfriends and girlfriends. Wallahu al-musta'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala support us, guide us, keep us all guided. May Allah help us to be among those who protect ourselves and our private life from any haram. And may Allah give us the success to control and protect and guide our children at the same time. Jazakumullah khairan. Wa ma alayna illa al-balagh.